I would argue that one of the greatest things we have as Catholics is the celebration of the saints, the celebration of those Christians who have gone before us, who show us the way to get to eternal life, the kingdom of heaven that we so desire, that through their example, we learn and we follow in their footsteps to follow our Lord, to enter into heaven with our Lord. And it's one of the greatest things that we have as Catholics. And I hope each and every one of us has a certain saint that we have an attachment to, that there's one of those saints that have gone before us who we look at their lives and we want to follow them. We want to emulate them. We want them to pray for us. Of course, in heaven, they can pray for us. They can intercede on our behalf. And, you know, maybe we have a certain patron saint. We have a saint who is our patron because of our name. For example, my middle name is Denis. So I have an attachment to Saint Denis, who was a French martyr. Now, we spell our names differently, but I still have an attachment to Saint Denis. Maybe it's because we were born on a certain saint's feast day, whichever that might be. Maybe it's because of our careers. You know, almost every career you can think of has a patron saint. Almost everything you can think of. You know, the patron saint of priests is Saint John Vianney. There's other patrons. There's patrons for carpenters, of course, Saint Joseph. There's patrons for brewers. There's patrons for bakers. There's patrons for truck drivers. You name it. Farmers, of course. Saint Isidore was a farmer. There's patrons for many, many different professions. And so maybe we have an attachment to a particular saint for that. Maybe there's a saint whose story connects with us, who there's something in their story, in their history, that connects with our lives. Probably one of the most well-known examples of this, in recent years at least, is Venerable Matt Talbot. Now, if you've not heard of him, he really has become a patron saint for those who are struggling with alcoholism. Because for about 13 or 14 years of his young life, he pretty much lived in the bottle. But he had a conversion experience, and as part of that conversion experience, he set aside the bottle, he made the pledge to be sober, and lived that the rest of his life, while also living a very ascetic lifestyle. He's very much a patron for many who go through Alcoholics Anonymous and so on. Maybe there's a saint that we're familiar with because of something they're known for, something they did in their lives, some focus they had in their lives. There's a saint from Italy, Pier Giorgio Frassati, Blessed Pier Giorgio Frassati. He was known for his work with the youth. He was a young man who worked with the youth. And of course, we've got connections with saints because of our ancestries. Saint Kateri for the Native Americans, Saint Patrick for the Irish, and so on. I hope each and every one of us have a saint, though, that we ask for their help daily. That we have that attachment to them, and we ask them for their help. Now, as I was going through these lists of saints, you know, I talked about blessed and venerable and saint. There's all these different levels that people go through after they die, as they go through the steps to become declared a saint. And I don't know how many you are really familiar with those, but so there's four steps that go into a person being named a saint. And most of the saints that we have gone through this process in one form or another. The first step is after they die, they're named a servant of God. This means that they're now a candidate. They've been looked at, their lives have been looked at, and said, you know, this person, maybe he is a saint. She is a saint. And we should explore further, explore deeper. Where they are examining their life to see if there is that saintly virtue, that virtue that they lived as a Christian, that they lived following Christ as a disciple. If that's found, then they are then named a venerable. And this is Venerable Matt Talbot is at this point, where there has been this exploration, this study of their life, and it's been found that, yes, they did live these heroic virtues. They lived their lives dedicated to Christ as a disciple. And they are worthy of emulation. They are worthy of following. This is why we are called to follow them, because they lived lives that we should follow as saints or as disciples of our Lord. At this point, however, the church has not said whether or not they're in heaven. For someone to be a venerable does not mean they're in heaven. It just means that the life they lived publicly is worth emulating. The next step takes a little more divine intervention, literally. To be named a blessed, they need to have a miracle occur by their intercession. That a lot of times is a miraculous healing where a certain person will be asked to intercede for this healing. And then the healing will occur in a way that the doctors can't explain. And believe me, when they check these miracles out, they have the best doctors, medical experts, you name it, people that are at the top of their field examining these cases to verify that this wasn't just a fluke. This wasn't just something the doctor missed. This wasn't just a problem that, you know, with the machine or something like that. It really was a bona fide miracle that could not be explained by modern science, that there is no explanation for it. And that's after that occurs and it's accepted by the Vatican, by the Pope, they're named a blessed. And then after one more miracle, they're named a saint. Now, as a blessed, it's a limited area where people can have a public veneration of this saint, public respect of this saint, because it's still not fully universally declared. It's not declared for the entire church. It's just declared for, like, for example, when now St. Teresa of Calcutta was Blessed Teresa, we didn't celebrate masses here in the United States for Blessed Teresa, but we do now as St. Teresa. In India, they did. India, they had, she was on their calendar and everything. But when they're declared a saint, then all of us throughout the world can celebrate masses on their feast day and so on. You know, and so all these saints, they have these special celebrations, and some of these celebrations are more important than others. But, you know, all these named saints, all these saints that just went through that process I described are just a small number, relatively speaking. Look at the vision of St. John that we heard in the first reading, where he saw a vision of heaven, and there was a great multitude. You can imagine just the largest crowd you've ever seen and multiply it. That many people in front of the throne of God worshiping him. And the named saints are but a drop in the bucket. The saints that we know are just a drop in the bucket of that great multitude. And that's who we celebrate today. Because all these saints that have gone through the process of canonization, they have a feast day. They have a day that we remember, a day that we mark. This is St. Patrick's Day, which has become more secular than religious, but it's still his feast day. Well, there's all these other people, all these other Christians that we don't know about who have gone before us. And they lived this life of great virtue. They lived the Beatitudes. They lived, you know, what we heard in the gospel today. Blessed are the poor. Blessed are those. Blessed, you know, those quotes from our Lord about those who will be blessed by God. They lived those. And we don't know them. We don't know their names. We don't know where they're from. We don't know. There are very likely people here in Malta who are part of that multitude that we will not know until we are in heaven. That they are forgotten to us. They are forgotten to the world. But they are not forgotten to God. And by their quiet, simple lives, they show us the example of how to live our Lord. Not about us, but about him. And by knowing that this great multitude is out there interceding for us, praying for us, especially on this day that we ask their intercession, they should give us the hope that we too will one day be there. That one day we too will be part of that multitude. And it should give us the desire above all things to enter into that multitude. To enter into that kingdom of heaven. So today, we remember all the saints, all those who have gone before us. We ask their intercession. We ask them to pray for us as we do at the end of the Litany of Saints. Whenever we have the Litany of Saints, the last line is always, "All holy men and women, pray for us." We ask all the saints to intercede for us, all those that have gone before. What a great force to pray for us, the great multitude of those who have gone before interceding for us. May they intercede for us that we too one day join them in that great multitude, that we too will enter into that kingdom of heaven and will spend eternity praising and worshiping our God.